is going on, everybody? Welcome on into the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by NumberFire. That is right here on NumberFire.com. And of course, the NumberFire Podcast Network, as we are taking a look ahead to week 16 already, breaking down the main slate for daily fantasy football and letting you know which players we are focusing on for this week. My name is Jim Sonnes. I am a senior writer and analyst for NumberFire.com, joined here as always by Brandon Gadula. He is a senior editor and analyst for NumberFire. Brandon, we are on to week 16 and a lot of stuff to juggle for this main slate. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. I know that nobody cares about my season-long teams, so I'm not even going to mention that I got bounced from a championship due to a stat correction on an Ezekiel Elliott fumble. I'm not even going to mention that. So I'm doing fantastic.
I wish that stat correction applied to DFS too, because I had a lot of Zeke last Sunday. That doesn't work, which I understand because you have to get payouts out and stuff. So I get it, but I'm sad about it regardless. So, you know, we move on to week 16. Thankfully, Brandon, if the consolation for not being in your championship is DFS. So, you know.
DFS is way more fun anyway.
Season long's the worst. That is my conclusion. I hate it. 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 As an Aaron Jones owner, I hate it. But this week 16 slate, there's a lot of information to digest. And all that information will play a big key in this slate. And there are a lot of guys in expanded roles. We have to decide which of those players can capitalize on those expanded roles and come through for DFS. Before we take a look at this, though, quick reminder, we are giving away a free subscription to NumberFire Premium every month. And all you got to do to get yourself entered is go to iTunes, search for the NumberFire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed, leave a comment, and rate the podcast. You are then entered to win NumberFire Premium for an entire year. Now, it's worth noting, this is only applicable for people who do not already have NumberFire Premium. So if you have Premium already, sorry, but that's kind of how it goes. If you don't have Premium and you want it as your little New Year's gift from NumberFire, just go to iTunes, leave a comment, and we'll draw for that at the beginning of January. Let's take a look at the injuries we need to discuss here for the Week 16 main slate, starting off with the big news, that is the Panthers. They have shut down Cam Newton for the season due to a shoulder injury, which means that Taylor Heinicke will start in Week 16. Brandon, can you talk yourself into Christian McCaffrey with a backup quarterback? Any interest here in the Falcons defense? Any interest in Heinicke? What you seeing here?
No Heinicke for me. I have some interest.
Mistakes, man. Mistakes.
I have some interest in the Falcons defense, but as far as McCaffrey goes, I mean, he's 9,300 and he's played every snap, I think five weeks in a row, which is absurd. This is a dream matchup against a team that gives up a lot of production to backs out of the backfield. You know, I don't want to sound hot takey, but Cam Newton wasn't doing much to elevate the offense. So I guess it's not that huge of a dip, but the bigger issue for me is if they're shutting down Cam Newton, are they really going to run Christian McCaffrey out there for every snap?
Right. That was my big concern. I think that's why I will avoid McCaffrey in cash. But yeah. I think it was a Charlotte Observer, and they were writing about Heinicke, and they said the reason they decided to shut Cam down was they thought that Heinicke gave them the best chance to win. And I think that could be coach speak. I think that's very possibly coach speak, because like, you want to motivate your team and have them try to win. Ron Rivera wants to keep his job, stuff like that. But they still have a very small chance to playoffs. Like, it's like less than 1%. But, like, there's a chance they could still make it. I think that justifies still using McCaffrey in tournaments. Heinicke, mind you, ran a 4.67 40 coming out of college at Old Dominion, the football hotbed of Old Dominion. He ran quite a good amount in the preseason, both with the Vikings back in the day and with the Panthers the most recently this year. I think there is some interest there because he has a good infrastructure around him with a decent offensive line that's performed pretty well this year. He's got good pass catchers as well. He's got McCaffrey. Not a great defense on the opposing side. I could talk myself into Heinicke too. I think there are a lot of other cheap quarterbacks this week that are also very interesting. But I want Heinicke on that list at least. I think he has my attention. That's what I would say.
I'm not going to talk you out of him. I'll probably get there, I guess, in some spots, especially if I can just stack him up with McCaffrey and, I guess, Julio in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll talk more with the Falcons in a second. But first, Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon said Thursday that he needs to take a break from football in order to focus on his mental health. Gordon's been pretty open about dealing with this in the past, so good that he's able to recognize when he needs to step away. Sounds like there may be another suspension coming as well. So hopefully Josh is able to find the help that he needs. Patriots facing the Bills at home this week as 13-point favorites. We'll talk more about them in the section on bookmaker info. But again, hopefully Josh Gordon able to find the help that he needs. Aaron Jones suffered a knee injury in week 15 and was placed on injured reserve. After Jones' injury, Jamal Williams stepped in and played 87% of the snaps. Got 12 carries and 5 targets. Aaron Rodgers said he plans to play despite a groin injury that he suffered last week. So let's assume that Rodgers is good on that and does play this week. Brandon, how high would you be on Jamal Williams at $5,800 against the Jets?
Pretty high. We sort of talked most of the year, not all year, about jamming in the expensive running backs who are just locked in to play heavy snaps and get a lot of touches. There aren't too many of those this week, even though it's a pretty loaded slate. It's not like you have to spend down at running back, but that helps me be willing to roster someone who's going to play almost 90% of the snaps at a sub 6K salary. So honestly, pretty high, higher than I normally would, because frankly, don't think that he's a very good running back. Not that that matters if the opportunity is there.
Right. And we saw this earlier in the year, Jamal Williams without Aaron Jones, but in that time, Ty Montgomery was also there, and Williams still got 15 and 16 carries the first two games. He had 2 and 4 targets, and his snap rate was about 60%. So with his snap rate being 80%, 87% last week, I think he's kind of just going to carry the load here. The Packers do have injuries on their offensive line, and that does matter, but I think with how cheap he is, with the fact that he is tied to Rodgers, I know Rodgers hasn't been great this year, but like that still matters. And they are now 3-point favorites with Rodgers saying he'll play. So I think Williams is very much in the cash game consideration. Would you agree with that? Would you use him in cash or no?
I think I would, because there are just sort of question marks around a decent number of the expensive running backs, but also wide receiver. We haven't really talked about that position yet, but that's kind of a train wreck as well. So I might be trying to spend up for a floor there, which would let me be more okay spending down for someone like Williams.
Yeah, I agree. Todd Gurley is dealing with knee inflammation and is considered day to day. Didn't practice Wednesday, but it sounds like he'll be good to go this weekend. Did miss some time in Sunday's loss to the Eagles. Brandon Gurley is super expensive at $9,600. We're going to talk about the Rams passing offense later, but can you trust Gurley for cash games at less than 100%?
We can't know. And these are the kinds of situations where I like to step back and say, I don't know if Todd Gurley is going to play 90% of the snaps or 50%. It's probably more likely that he plays 90%, but I don't know if he's a must play in cash games with this injury.
I don't think he's a must play, but I think he's a play because even with the knee injury being a thing for him ever since the Kansas City game, he had 30 points in one game, 29 in another. He had 7.3 points, but that was on the road against Chicago, and that's kind of a unique situation. I would very much consider him in cash games. I think that's what I would say there. If he gets in a full practice on Friday, I would be even more inclined to use him. So I want to track the injury status of Todd Gurley. If he gets in that full practice on Friday, I think I'll be good to go then for cash games, and it'll be on my tournament radar pretty much regardless because his upside has still been really good, even with this knee injury being a thing. James Conner did not practice Wednesday for the Steelers and said he's not quite ready to return yet. Sounds like he's probably going to sit. Jalen Samuels could be the team's lead back again in week 16. Where do you sit on him at $6,700?
Yeah, I like Samuels quite a bit. New Orleans is bottom six in target success rate allowed to running backs. According to NumberFire, Samuels has 2 and 7 targets in his two starts. And if he's going to start again in this shootout down in the Superdome, it's pretty easy to buy back in, especially with a price at just 6,700.
Yeah, he has 12.7 and 18.2 FanDuel points in two games, despite not scoring a touchdown in either. And you're not going to use Stephen Ridley against the Saints defense because they're so good on the interior. It sets up as a game where you just have Jalen Samuels out there and let him be involved in the passing game. So Samuels at 67, another cash game consideration, I think. At running back for this week, I think I am lower on him than Jamal Williams. What do you see between those two, considering price?
I think I'm higher on Samuel. Well, I guess considering price than Williams, but I would prefer Samuels because I like that game way more, which is very obvious to say.
Yes, not really a hot take there. Both those teams have something on the line. Neither the Jets nor the Packers do. Odell Beckham missed another practice on Wednesday, but the Giants have yet to shut him down for the season. Giants offense died at home last week with Beckham out, but they also blew out Washington the week before that, also with Beckham out. So how are you handling this Giants offense against Indy, assuming Beckham does sit again?
I mean, Barkley's not a cash game play. It's not like I would rule him out in cash games, but he's more of a tournament play. And other than him, it's kind of just Evan Engram for me. I like what he's been doing. His snaps are going up without Beckham.
I agree completely. No Sterling Shepard. He has 0 yardage upside. He's pretty terrible. But Engram plays a bad position, so I like him. With Barkley, he's playing on turf, and I think that that's pretty intriguing because of the skill set that he has. So we kind of saw what he can do against Washington. I think that may have been like a ceiling type game for him with Beckham out, even though he kind of sat most of the second half there. But I would be in on him in tournaments, and he'd be a no for me in cash. The Falcons placed Ito Smith on injured reserve on Monday due to a knee injury. Tevin Coleman had been splitting time with Smith, but it looks like this should free up some extra touches in the backfield. We'll talk more about this game in the section on bookmaker info. Tyler Boyd missed practice Wednesday with a knee injury and seems likely to miss week 16 against the Browns. Meanwhile, Browns corner Denzel Ward returned to practice on Wednesday after missing the past two games due to a concussion. Brandon, are you going to take any stabs on any Bengals with the targets freed up by Boyd likely being out?
Maybe a punt with CJ Uzama at tight end?
Nope. I'll pass. I think the biggest winner is the Browns defense. Boyd has been so efficient this year, even ever since AJ Green got hurt, even with Jeff Driscoll at quarterback. Boyd has been crazy efficient. What?
I like how you backed me into a corner and asked me about the Bengals, and I tried to throw out something, and you were just entirely dismissive.
Yeah, I'm dismissive of CJ Uzama. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah. The last time he topped 7 FanDuel points was October 21st. That is almost 2 months ago. He has not had more than 41 receiving yards since October 14th. This offense is bad. I get why, but no. That's what I would say. I get it, but no. Browns D is $4,400. Let's ride. Frank Gore injured his foot last week and is now expected to miss the rest of the season. When he went down, it was Kalen Ballage and not Kenyon Drake who stepped up and took on Gore's role, and it sounds like that is kind of the plan for this week. So Ballage is $5,500. Brandon, you liked him as a prospect, but he's facing the Jaguars. Are you tempted by either Ballage or Drake in week 16?
Not Drake. He played like 30% of his snaps as a wide receiver, so I don't really want to go there. With Ballage, he had that big run. Not a whole ton after that, but you know, if the matchup were different, I would like him plenty, but sure, the matchup scares me in a game where I don't really think that they're going to score much.
He's priced right
I'll
by...
I'll have some sprinkles.
Yeah, he's priced right by Elijah McGuire and by Jamal Williams. So, and like, I wasn't using Frank Gore before in his role.
Well,
I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a talent gap there for sure. But I mean, still, I'm not going to go there. I think I agree with you where if the matchup were different, I would consider it more. But like on this slate where I actually have some value running back, I'm probably okay with missing out if he goes.
Yeah, there are multiple value backs. And again, I'm not enthralled with all of the stud running backs, but
right,
there's a even someone like Gurley, who's not 100%, or McCaffrey, who's without his quarterback. Like, I know the price is different, but I'm still trying to prioritize those types of plays in a majority of my lineups.
I would agree with that for sure. Before we take a look at the trends for week 16, we got to talk about this week's free roll in the week 15. Number Fire Podcast Network free roll, KG0719 put out a dominant win, topping the rest of the field by more than 17 points. Chris Carson, Derrick Henry, and the Falcons defense helped lead them to a win, netting them three free months of Number Fire Premium and a bunch of free FanDuel points. If you want in on week 16's contest, here is your URL. That is FanDuel.com/league/Brandon. Yeah, the Brandon week is the week with no Chris Conley on the main slate. I think that we got to talk to marketing about this. Well, that's FanDuel.com/league/Brandon. FanDuel.com/league/Brandon for your shot at free Number Fire Premium and FanDuel points to be used on entries. A tragic week, Brandon. This aligns so poorly for you.
Yeah, I just hope that Chris Conley gets some more targets. He plays like every snap, and now they're just throwing it to Kelvin Benjamin a little bit. And that, nothing is more tilting than seeing your favorite player be overshadowed by Kelvin Benjamin.
It's easy to be overshadowed by him because he is a large human, but hopefully you can just use Conley in your MVP slot on the single game slate instead. You got that.
You know it.
You got that. All right, let's move on to the trends discussion for week number 16. We're going to start off here with the potential shootout of this week. That's the Saints and the Steelers. Total there, 53.5 points. And that is the highest on the slate by, I think, 6 points as of Thursday morning. Brandon, you're going to talk about the Saints side of this because they're heading back home, and that is impactful given the way they have played this year.
Yeah, with that total, the Saints have an implied team total of 29.5, which is highest on the main slate. I'm looking at the Saints offense at home, but I really just kind of wanted to look at any reason to talk about the Saints. So this game is in the Superdome, of course, which has actually seen an average of 62 points in games played here, second only to games played in the Rams' home stadium at 63.1, which was boosted a lot by that Chiefs game. But after games in the Superdome, it's down in Atlanta, who is third place at 56. So basically an extra touchdown here on average. It's just been a lot of shootouts here over the past however many years, and that's continued into this year. And the Saints actually average 0.53 offensive points per play at home, which is best in the NFL. They're 0.31 net expected points per play, also first. The Rams are second at 0.27, so it's not the hugest gap, but it is pretty noticeable whenever we're talking on a per-play basis. It's 0.04 points. So what we are dealing with, what could be considered the best scoring offense in football, the Saints at home this year. At home, Drew Brees has 17 touchdowns and one interception. He's averaging 0.53 passing net expected points per dropback in games in New Orleans. The league average is 0.12. So that's more than four times the league average on a per dropback basis, which is crazy. Brees is also averaging 9.24 yards per attempt at home. League average around 7.4 right now. He also averages 26.6 FanDuel points per game at home, which is a league best. That's also helped Michael Thomas average more than 20 FanDuel points in his six home games. We've also seen the best of Tre'Quan Smith, who's fallen well out of favor with the DFS community, it feels. He has 12.6 FanDuel points in five home games, 20.2 in three home games on average when he's played at least two-thirds of the snaps. So after his role got better, that's when he had his two huge games and a pretty solid game in there as well. And his role hasn't really changed. He's just been on the road and in matchups that don't really make him a priority for the Saints offense. In the backfield, Alvin Kamara has played at least 63% of the snaps in five straight games, averaging 14.4 fantasy points in those. The Steelers are fifth in target success rate allowed to running backs, but his price is quite reasonable at 8,100 in a game that should feature a lot of scoring. I like at least four Saints with Brees, Thomas, Smith, and Kamara this week, given their prices. Where do you land on their offense for week 16?
Yeah, I think that I like them pretty much as you do, because if you look at Brees at home, you mentioned that the average is very good. It's 26.6, but even since their defense got better, Brees has still scored at least 20 points at home in each game. They played three games at home in that time, scored at least 20 in each of those games, and he scored 30 twice. So I still think the upside is there. The floor is there. He's just a different player at home, and that really does matter. I love Kamara's role recently. He has 25% of their targets over the past 3 weeks, so I think that that's super intriguing, given that his price has come down to reflect his role. I'm not as into Michael Thomas just because I really do want to spend up at running back still this week in probably two slots per roster and then spend one, use one spending down. So not as into Michael Thomas, but I do think that Tre'Quan Smith is worthy of investment in tournaments. So I'm on board with three of the four guys. I will have Michael Thomas. I'm just not quite as into him, I guess. But I think this is a really good spot to use Breeze kind of heavily in tournaments just because I don't think he'll be as popular as he should be, at least.
That's okay. I mean, if you don't want to use Michael Thomas, it's kind of on you.
I'll leave it for you, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, it's not that I don't want to use him. I just don't think I need to prioritize him necessarily.
Right, right. He's really never a wide receiver that you sort of prioritize, mm-hmm. almost no matter what. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I feel, because the Drew Brees can throw touchdowns to like the third string towel guy, you know. It's just kind of the way that
this offense. What are you saying about Austin Carr? He was inactive last week, Brandon. He can rise from the ashes.
Dan Arnold end zone targets.
Yeah, Eric Swope's one day on the Saints roster is pretty exciting for a couple people in the number fire Slack chat. So rest in peace, Eric Swope. That one's gone, but still pretty intriguing game on both sides here. So let's talk about the other side of this game, because if it's going to be a shootout, that means the Saints need, or the Steelers need to score points. And not many teams have done that against the Steelers recently. If you go back to week one, again, they got lit up by Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it looked like they were up to their old ways, but recently they have been a shutdown team. They haven't allowed more than 17 points defensively since facing the Rams all the way back in week 9. It is week 16. They have not allowed more than 17 points since then. With a total of 53.5 points for this game, we have to see if we can trust Ben and company in this spot. And again, this one is on the road. The biggest change for this defense, outside of a change in their playing style around week 4, they went more with a zone approach, was the acquisition of cornerback Eli Apple prior to week 8. So we'll set the range to be from week 8 on. This gives us an 8-game sample. In that time, opposing quarterbacks have 12 touchdowns compared to 10 interceptions. They've averaged negative 0.03 passing net expected points per attempt with a 48% success rate. The success rate isn't bad, but the per dropback numbers really are. With that said, these games have come while facing just two teams ranked in the top 10 in adjusted passing efficiency in the Rams and the Falcons. It does help that both those games were also in New Orleans, so you can kind of see what went down there. In those two games, both quarterbacks threw for at least 370 yards and two touchdowns with one pick apiece. Jared Goff had awesome efficiency numbers, while Matt Ryan's weren't great, and a lot of those, that production for him was in garbage time. The only other home game in the sample was against the Eagles, and the Saints wiped the floor with them. The Steelers enter this week ranked 6th in passing efficiency, right between the Rams and the Falcons. So we have another elite, another very good passing offense here, and they're also indoors. We have seen them struggle on the road this year, but again, indoors does help. There is some risk here. Based on that Eagles game, the Steelers get wiped and don't produce at all, but they desperately need a win. So I think their receivers are worthy of a look, even if it does come with some extra risk. So, Brandon, where do you sit on the Steelers' offense, and will you use Ben Roethlisberger as the most expensive quarterback on the board?
I will have some Ben. I think that his spot is good in this shootout. I obviously see paths to where the Steelers get limited, but I also just sort of see this game as, you know, if they get blown out, we know that Ben Roethlisberger has like 500 yard upside. I know it's a tough matchup. You just explained why, but he's not above throwing 60 times in a game to two very good playmakers, at least three if you include Jalen Samuels in there. They're playing indoors. Juju Smith-Schuster can break a long play. Antonio Brown can break a long play. He's not a cash game play for me because I am worried about the matchup, but
right.
I think he's worth the price in tournaments because his upside, frankly, is 35+ if things go his way.
Breeze or Big Ben for tournaments?
For tournaments, Roethlisberger. For cash games, it would be more toward Breeze.
I prefer Breeze in both formats, I think, because he's at home and favorite, and I really respect how difficult it is to play in New Orleans in general. I know that hasn't always been like a factor that has limited offenses, but like it's a pretty tough environment. So I favor Breeze in both formats, but I do want to get some Big Ben. Antonio or Juju this week?
Juju for me.
Juju's cheaper, had 10 targets last week, at least 9 targets in 5 straight, so I agree there as well. Let's move on to your second trend, Brandon, and talk about – I'm just going to let you do this one. I'm going to sit in silence and be sad while you talk about how bad Jared Goff has been the past 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, like, in-season samples are always difficult, but I do like sort of looking at things at least since a bye week because it gives the team time to sort of reflect it. But this is not really one of those situations. It's just more that he's been quite bad since the bye. He returned first to play the Lions, who are 31st in adjusted pass defense based on number fires metrics. Then he played at Chicago, who's 3rd. So it's understandable that he wasn't very good there. Then he hosted the Eagles, who are 19th on the full season and have plenty of issues in the secondary with their injuries. So overall, the matchups have been a mixed bag, which is actually good for me to see that these aren't all tough matchups or easy matchups, but he was bad in all of them. In total, he has 1 touchdown and 7 picks. He's averaging negative 0.14 passing net expected points per dropback, just 5.5 yards per attempt. His success rate, though, isn't that terrible at 47.4%. League average always hovers around 50% there. That's resulted, though, in 8.5 fantasy points per game and just 242 yards per game. The Rams actually have been the most pass-heavy team in the league in this 3-game split. They are 6th in pass rate in 1-score games, so they've been throwing the ball quite a bit in these three. As mentioned, you know, the passing success rate hasn't been too bad, but the interceptions have killed this offense's expected point total. Also of note, in this split, Goff is just 4 of 24 on throws at least 16 yards downfield for 98 yards and 3 picks. I actually kind of went back and watched all the deep throws that he had. A good number of them were like in just borderline red zone, so it wasn't a true like down the field throw. He sort of had to sort of make things work in goal. I don't even know how to say it. It was like 2nd and goal, but they were on the 20.
So and like 3 of them were at the end of the half against the,
yeah.
You just like,
so like, I don't want to, yeah, I don't want to put too much stock into that, but you know, it is problematic. The Eagles are about mid-level in just about every measure of deep ball defense, but it also kind of seems like teams are dropping back a bit more and taking away the deep ball. And he, by losing Cooper Kupp, he's lost his 2nd best yards after a catch player. Todd Gurley averages 9.9 yards after the catch. Cooper Kupp was at 7.6. Both Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks are 4.5 or below. I know that they don't have the same role. They're not put in like the run after catch situations necessarily, but you know, if you remove Cooper Kupp's yards after catch, the Rams as a team drop from 5th to 16th. He just had a lot of production for Jared Goff underneath, and they kind of don't have that right now. So I think it's a big alteration for Goff, who obviously loses efficiency without Kupp, but again, the success rate's still fine. The Cardinals are 10th in adjusted pass defense on the year, and he doesn't really come at much of a discount at 8,000. Robert Woods has averaged over 10 targets a game in the split. He runs a lot from the slot, so he'll avoid Patrick Peterson this week. I like that. Brandon Cooks, though, just 6.7 targets per game in this sample, figures to draw a good bit of Patrick Peterson. And then there's Josh Reynolds at 8 targets per game, an average of 135 air yards in the past 2. I think that at 5,300, he is a low-cost way to get access to what could be an overlooked offense. We already sort of touched on Todd Gurley, but I think there's a lot to figure out here, Jim. You're the Goff guy here. I might be more optimistic on the Rams than I probably should be.
Yeah.
So where are you with this offense?
I think I'm about even with you. First, I want to hear, though, is Goff on your tournament radar, or is it more so you're willing to overlook his struggles to use pieces tied to him?
I'll use some Jared Goff because the success rate is there, and the biggest issue has been interceptions, which, you know, aren't entirely random, but, you know, I don't want to just assume that he's going to throw three picks a game moving forward.
So I don't think I'm going to use Goff this week, and it's not due to his performance. It's because the spread. Like, when Goff was good, and he was good earlier this year, like the full season numbers on Goff are still very good. I didn't use him when the Rams were heavily favored because they tended to just ride Gurley, and I think that that is a risk for this week because the Cardinals are terrible, and like Aaron Donald's going to destroy that offensive line. So I think that's enough where I can say no to Goff, especially with Deshaun Watson being the exact same price. I prefer him, so probably not going to use Goff. But for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, I think that Goff is, or the pieces tied to him are in play. Reynolds will not see Patrick Peterson, as you alluded to. I'm assuming he'll be shadowing Brandon Cooks. So I think that Reynolds is in play for sure at $5,300. He's too cheap. He almost had that touchdown on Monday as well, or Sunday night, I believe. So he was almost in the end zone there. I think Robert Woods is in play. He's had at least 60 yards every game since week one. And he, as you said, he will avoid Peterson too. I like Todd Gurley, of course, at 96 under the assumption he's healthy. So I'm going to use Rams. I think with Goff, like, I don't know what's wrong with him. I know he had to evacuate his house for the fires. I don't know if like that's just kind of like shaking him like mentally or what, but like there's always a possibility he reverts back to being the very good player we saw the early part of the year. And I think it makes sense to buy back in on the Rams under the assumption that happens for tournaments. So I will go at Reynolds. I will go at Gurley and Woods. But I think I'm okay with missing out on Goff for this week at least.
Yeah, that's you know, Goff is probably going to be like a 5%er for me. Sure. So I'll have some because I think that he could break out in this spot, but I don't want to get overexposed to someone who is who could very easily just throw like 25 times and as his team just trounces the league's worst.
Yeah, and if you're worried about like Sean McVay adjusting to the way teams are playing them, he did adjust on Sunday night. Like Goff's success rate in that game was 61%. He just made some bad throws. That was not a McVay. That was on Goff that game. So like I trust McVay to fix whatever's wrong with Goff and play call correctly to account for the adjustments defenses have made. And that's why I think that I will buy into the Rams here. Let's move on, Brandon, to talk about another guy who is interesting this week.
Yeah.
If you've watched Sam Darnold, yes, we're talking about Sam Darnold here. If you've watched him play the past 2 weeks, as I have been blessed to do because I live in an area that gets Buffalo games, awesome, don't hate it. You've likely come away from watching Darnold thinking that he's playing better than he was before. And the numbers back that up, I think it makes this offense intriguing for week 16. Darnold has 65 dropbacks since returning from his foot injury. In those, he has averaged 0.22 passing net expected points per dropback with a 46% success rate. The success rate would be kind of meh. It would rank 23rd out of 41 quarterbacks and at least 100 dropbacks if it were his full season mark. But his expected points per dropback number would rank 9th, right between Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck. This is just 2 games, but both those were against decent opponents. The first one was on the road against Buffalo, and the Bills ranked 7th against the pass based on number of fires metrics. The Texans ranked 21st, which does take a bit of the luster off of that game, but with the Packers down in 26th against the pass, this still seems to be a spot where Darnold could excel. He is $6,700, which helps you jam in some high-priced skill guys. Robbie Anderson has 31% of Darnold's targets, 8 deep targets since Darnold came back, and he's only $5,900. I will stack those guys together. But it also does give a boost to Elijah McGuire, who is $5,700. He played 75% of the snaps last week and has averaged 17.5 carries and 4 targets per game the past 2 weeks with Isaiah Crowell getting hurt and then being out. That is a strong role for a running back who has such a low salary. Brandon, are you going to use the Jets offense against Green Bay? And if so, what is your favorite route for doing so?
I want to say it's McGuire just because I like the snaps and his price, but I will have some Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson stacks.
Let's go.
Darnold threw just 2 deep passes in his first game back, but he threw deep 10 times last week. In terms of adjusted yards per attempt allowed on deep throws, the Packers are dead last defending the deep ball. I think that that alone is enough to just take a chance on some splash plays for Darnold and Anderson. So it pains me to say, but at least three Jets are in my player pool this week.
That's right, man. With Robbie Anderson, he has had double-digit targets twice this year. Both those games have come with Sam Darnold, and both have come when Quincy Enunwa has been out, and Enunwa missed practice Wednesday. So Anderson will be chalky this week. I feel pretty safe in saying that, but I don't think it's necessarily bad chalk given his role and given his price. So that's what I'd say with Anderson. I think I would rank McGuire higher, as you said too. Robbie, Sam, the Jets, game stacks with Devontae Adams or Jamal Williams. Let's ride, man. What could go wrong with stacking a game that has no playoff implications at all?
Yeah.
Let's move down to your third trend, Brandon, a game that is not meaningless because it's Houston against Philadelphia. Both these games trying to win playoff bursts, Houston trying to get that first round bye, Philadelphia trying to make another late season run. This game could be kind of fun. What do you see here from a pace perspective, Brandon?
Yeah, pace is like very, very hard to figure out. Especially if you look at things like plays per game, that can be skewed by overtimes or, you know, one heavy game where a team runs a ton of plays because they're out ahead from the get-go. But I still want to dig in here because this game is basically like one of two that actually, you know, both teams have realistic shots to make the playoffs. And that matters. On the full season, the Texans are 12th in seconds per play. The Eagles are 26th. In terms of situation neutral pace, according to Football Outsiders, Houston is 7th, Philadelphia is 27th. So this on the surface suggests that there's one fast team, Houston, playing one slow team, Philly. But despite their slow pace, the Eagles have faced the 11th most plays per game on the full season. Defensively, the 4th most plays per game since Week 8. They sit dead last in passing success rate allowed since Week 8. They're giving up a lot of just yardage and success through the air. The Texans are 21st in passing success rate, but top 12 in passing net expected points per play and success rate over the past five games. So they've been trending up of late with Deshaun Watson getting healthier. So they should be able to throw on the Eagles here, move the ball, force more plays. Houston is up to 13th in plays per game over the last 5 weeks as well. So they've been playing up in tempo as measured by plays per game. Over the past five games, their defense has funneled passing as well, sitting 9th in rushing success rate allowed, but 18th in passing success rate allowed. So that, in part, has forced the 6th highest pass rate against them and the 15th most plays per game. So what all this means is that both teams can be thrown on more than they can be run on, and that could lead to elevated passing rates, which can move the ball down the field and generate more scoring. Also, both teams have things to play for. The spread is just 2.5 points, so it could be close. Nick Foles, minimum salary. Alshon Jeffrey, 6,300. Zach Ertz, pretty much always in play, and he has a good matchup here. We know the upside that DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson have. We just saw that last week. So, Jim, is this a game you see yourself stacking, or are you seeing some red flags that I am not?
I was trying to see red flags on it because I'm trying to do that more often, I think, now, like trying to actively counteract games that I like. But with this game, the big thing I was concerned about was Houston because they are a team that plays in a retractable roof stadium, normally at home, going on the road, and they have a terrible offensive line. And I am wary of teams with bad offensive lines on the road, but Deshaun Watson's passing efficiency on the road has been league average this year. And, like, that's not great, but I'm not using him for efficiency. I'm using him because he's stupid good. And, like, he has been running more often recently. I think he's had more than 40 rushing yards in back-to-back games. He's had at least 28 pass attempts in three straight games, so the concerns around his volume have been dried up. So I like Deshaun Watson at 8,000. I think that he is very intriguing there. I think that DeAndre Hopkins is very obvious, but also very good. I think I'm pretty okay with this game in general. I don't know about Foles, honestly. That offensive line wasn't good. Even when Carson Wentz was there, they were giving up a lot of sacks. And now they're facing, you know, J.J. Watt. That's kind of scary to me. I don't So I'll say that Foles is not my favorite mid-price quarterback. I prefer Taylor Heineke. That may be stupid, but that's true. I just prefer Taylor Heineke. So I think that I'll go there more often than I go with Foles. But I could get interested in his pass catcher, specifically Ertz. I think that if I'm stacking up this game, I go Hopkins, Watson, Ertz, and then take advantage of the value at running back. Not in cash games, but I think for tournaments, I could go with that stack and load up on this game. So I'm not really worried about this game personally. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I like Foles probably more than Heineke because he has two clear stack options with Ertz, first and foremost, but also Alshon Jeffrey. He had 8 targets and 4 of the 5 deep targets last week. He obviously is a touchdown maker. He has a lot of end zone usage, or has whenever he's healthy. And it was just kind of a matter of time before he had a bit of a better game because he had been running a lot of routes, pretty much every route, playing a lot of snaps. And if Foles is finally going to look to him, I like that. So, you know, I'm not going to be heavy on Nick Foles by any means, but kind of don't have to be. But he lets you get exposure to higher priced players, especially higher priced players in this particular game.
Yeah, and I think the encouraging thing with Jeffrey is that they've kind of pulled the plug on the Golden Tate experiment. His snap rates the past 3 games are 48%, 39%, and 34%.
He had 5 targets last week, and none of them were deeper than 7 yards downfield.
Yeah, so if they're going downfield, it's Ertz and it's Jeffrey for the most part. So I do think that makes me feel better about those 2 guys, and I'd be okay with using them for sure, even though their quarterback is Nick Foles. Let's move to my third trend here and talk about the Cowboys, because they were a big letdown last week in Indy while a lot of their players were very popular in DFS. That could suppress some enthusiasm around them this week, but Cowboys are back at home, and that is huge for them, even when you look at the matchup. Overall this season, the Cowboys have averaged 14.7 points per game on the road. That is down 10 full points from what they do at home, where they average 24.7 points per game. Dak Prescott's efficiency splits are also pretty huge, too. He has 13 touchdowns and 3 picks at home, compared to 4 touchdowns and 5 picks on the road. If we look at him since the Amari Cooper trade, Dak's adjusted yards per attempt at home is 8.75 compared to 6.16 on the road. So honestly, I probably should have seen the flop coming last week. I was pretty underweight on Cooper. I actually wound up being like half the field on Cooper, but I was likely overweight on Dak, Zeke, Michael Gallup, and that didn't work out. And I probably should have seen it coming based on this team's home road splits. But now they're back at home. The Buccaneers are ranked 28th against the pass and 30th in success rate allowed to opposing running backs. They've also allowed 37 points per game on the road this year. So I think when looking at this Cowboys team, Zeke is going to be the first guy I am locking in to cash game rosters on any team. I just want to have him on every cash game roster and on most of my tournament rosters too. I also want in on Dak. I want some Amari Cooper in tournaments. Brandon, are you willing to go back to the Cowboys after last week's letdown?
Yeah, for sure. I like Dak quite a bit this week. Obviously, Ezekiel, he's probably my favorite running back.
Agreed.
I have the fewest question marks about Elliott among the high price backs. Cooper is fine.
At any price level, price considered.
Yeah. I just meant specifically if I'm looking at the top 10 backs or whatever in price, he stands out as the guy I want to go to first. Michael Gallup ran 37 routes last week, but didn't get a target. He had he had 142 air yards the week before that, 112, 72, 107, and then it just all fell apart last week. But he has, he gets deep targets. Tampa's okay against the deep ball. They're 11th in adjusted yards per attempt there. But I like Gallup as a bounce back. I like Cooper. I like Elliott. I like Dak. So I like this offense a lot this week.
Is Gallup someone you could treat? This is a dumb. I'm
Don't
not
say
comparing
cash.
What?
Oh, okay, never mind. I thought you were gonna say, could you play him in cash games?
No. Gosh, no. Michael Gallup is to the Cowboys as Ted Ginn is to the Saints. Do you agree with that or not?
I don't fully understand what that might mean.
Okay, so it means that if this offense is in a spot to score points, we can take gambles on that person. If they are on the road and not in as great of a scoring environment, we avoid them altogether.
So he's like the Traquan of the Saints.
Yeah, I think
that's the case. I'm pretty sure Gallup has better splits at home as well. Some of these like lower end options just perform better at home because the entire offense performs better at home. So that's probably like the biggest tweak that I should make in my process is really honing in on who's playing at home among these sort of tertiary and quaternary options.
Yes. I don't look at home road splits for running backs, receivers, or tight ends. I look basically just at quarterbacks because they control the offense. But if you get bored, check out Amari Cooper's home road splits and his splits as a favorite versus an underdog. They're hilarious. Again, they don't mean a whole lot, and I don't look at them, but I did.
But they might for guys like this because the offense gets better. So there's
I think that it's anecdotally true. Just that he's averaging 28.6 points as a favorite and 6 as an underdog. Like, that's why it's hilarious to me. So if you just want entertainment, I think that's what that's worth. Let's move on to our fourth trend here. And I think that a big topic of discussion this week for tournaments will be mid-price running backs. There are a lot of guys in interesting spots, whether it be Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Marlon Mack, you've got Sony Michel, you've got Tariq Cohen, Jalen Samuels, Tevin Coleman, all these guys priced between $7,900 and $6,400. So our final two trends, looking at guys in that pricing range, Brandon will start by talking about Dalvin Cook and his snap rate to see what we should do with him this week at Detroit.
Yeah, Cook, $7,100. This slate, as you just mentioned, features a lot of viable running backs in the mid-range. We've already talked about some value backs. We know that there are stud running backs on this slate as well. You know, a lot of these running backs, at least to me, have pretty significant red flags based on their price. Cook really isn't one of them for me, given the price of $7,100. Sort of the two primary concerns for Cook are that he's on the road, but he is a 5.5-point favorite, so that sort of checks out, quells some of that concern for me. The other is that the Lions are fifth in rushing success rate allowed to running backs since trading for Damon Harrison in week 8, but Cook has averaged 4.8 targets per game over his past 5, which is an 11% target share, so that helps me out there. Cook also has played 88%, 59%, 77%, 85%, and 61% of the snaps in the past 5 games. With an average snap total of 47.5, that ranks him 7th among all running backs in the split. He is 11th in salary on the main slate. So I'm really not trying to oversell his workload here, but you know, if we do the thing that Jim taught us and adjust his opportunities by multiplying his targets by 2, because a target for a running back on average is worth twice the amount of fantasy points as a carry, he has 23.8 adjusted looks per game over his past 4, which ranks him 10th in that sample and would be 9th on the full season. Again, I'm really not trying to oversell Cook here because I am very much of the mindset of being talked out of stupid plays, but I mean, he has a rising workload at a reasonable price. He's averaged 18.8 fantasy points per game over his past 4. And if we look a little bit extra at his most recent game under the new offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, Cook had a touch on 47.6% of his snaps last week. He got a bit limited because of the blowout, but it was 37% in terms of a touch rate the 4 prior games. So it went up by 10 percentage points. Yes, it was positive script, but it could be again here against the Lions, even though they are on the road. But this team clearly wants to run the ball, which is not something I advocate, but it helps for fantasy production for running backs at least. So, Jim, I mean, Cook has some concerns about the actual rushing matchup, the fact that he's on the road against a divisional opponent. But other than that, things are looking nice for Cook, who got fed last week. So where do you sit with Cook specifically this week?
Well, let's do this. Let's talk about Marlon Mack. I'll go through my trend on him, and then I'll have you rank the two. How about that?
That sounds smart.
All right, let's do that. So let's talk about Marlon Mack here because he blew up last week, and it could seem a bit point chasey to go there this time, but there are a couple of converging splits that could allow us to go right back to him here. It's not a coincidence that Mack went off last week. It was their first game getting their center, Ryan Kelly, back. He had missed the past 3 games due to injury, and he makes a big impact for this team. In the games with Kelly, Mack has averaged 5.04 yards per carry with a 52% success rate. Those are stupid good numbers. Without Kelly, Mac averaged just 3.92 yards per attempt, and his success rate went down to 35%. So basically, Mac has been among the most efficient backs in the league when Kelly has been healthy, and he will be that again this week. They're facing the Giants, who have been putrid recently. They have allowed 4.85 yards per attempt and a 46% success rate since the Damon Harrison trade. That is a full yard per attempt higher than it was before the trade, and the success rate has gone up 10 percentage points. The Colts playing well with Ryan Kelly, the Giants playing like trash without Damon Harrison, and Mac is $7,000. He does not get passing down work, but the Colts are 10-point favorites at home, and they have something to play for here with the playoffs on the line. So, Brandon, we have Marlon Mack at $7,000. We have Dalvin Cook at $7,100. Mack at home, but Cook has a better passing game role. Who you got in tournaments, and will you go to either of these guys in cash games?
Cook in tournaments because he is just safer. Also, Deshaun Hand and Ezekiel Ansah are out as well. For the Lions. So that helps Cook. I forgot to mention that. But I like Cook for the receiving work. Those targets matter a lot to me. In cash games, I would probably just prefer Mac because he's a heavy favorite at home.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I prefer Cook in cash, I think, because I know the NFL can be weird. What's that?
Safer snap rate, I guess.
Yeah, safer snap rate, safer target load. And I know the NFL can be weird, and I'm going to get games wrong. And, like, I think the Vikings will win this game pretty easily because it seems like Detroit has given up. Like, they just don't seem to be trying anymore, which is fine.
Ever since the Patriots game after that, they were kind of...
Yeah, they got that win, then they're good. They're done for the year. But ever since the Golden Tate trade, it's been weird to watch them. So it seems like Kenny Galladay is the one guy who's still giving an effort. So I think the Vikings will win this game. But on the off chance that they don't, I think Cook has the safer floor. His snap rate is actually higher in losses than it is in wins. So, like, that might not be the worst thing in the world if they get behind. So cash games, Cook. Probably going to give a slight edge to Cook in tournaments too because of the passing down work and because I think he's a more talented back. But I do like Mac almost equally in tournaments because of what you mentioned with the spread being so heavily in his favor. What about for cash games? You had to pick one. If you had to pick one, Jalen Samuels, Marlon Mack, or Dalvin Cook?
So I know I just said Mac, but I really love Dalvin Cook this week. I think that he's got the safest path to production. I'm just going to go with Cook.
Over Samuels as well?
I think so, yeah. Nah, that's dumb. I don't know, Jim.
I don't know if it's
tough.
Dumb.
It's tough. It's tough. It's these three, but then there's like the three or four value backs and then all the studs.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to decide?
It's such a good problem to have, though.
Like, it is, but like it's just frustrating. This is definitely the week,
yeah,
where I just build multiple lineups and build one and have Dalvin Cook in it, and then duplicate it and then put in Marlon Mack and then duplicate it and put in Jalen Samuels.
Absolutely, I would not object to that at all, and I am fully in favor of it. I think for cash me, it would be between Samuels and Cook because of the passing down work, the game environment for Saints Steelers might make me give the edge to Samuels, but I think that's kind of being used as a tiebreaker here, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that. It's just, I think what's really skewing me more than anything is how frequently Cook got a touch last week.
Yeah.
And how much they seem like they want to run the ball.
And Samuels played way more snaps, but they had the exact same carry and target numbers last week. So, like, you're right in that. And if his snap rate does go up because the game stays a little bit closer, then he would benefit. So I get what you're saying too. And I think they're all very good plays. But
yes,
I like Samuels quite a bit. Before we move on to the bookmaker info for this week, gotta let you know that FanDuel is teaming up with Dash Digital Cash, the fastest digital payment system on the planet, to bring the community a new type of prize and exciting new contests every month. Dash is the evolution of money. Check out the Crypto Cup on FanDuel.com for more info. Just go to FanDuel.com, check out the lobby, and look for the Crypto Cup for Dash Digital Cash. Let's take a look at bookmaker info for this slate. Starting off in New England, they are a 13-point favorite over the Bills. Second largest spread on the main slate. The other higher one is the Rams against the Cardinals. This gives New England an implied total of 28.75, which is the third highest in the slate. This spread also implies the Bills will be playing from behind, which could force Josh Allen to run and throw more and fumble more. The Patriots have plenty of playable assets. Brandon, can you stack this game, or is the spread going to prevent you from doing so?
I think that there are a lot of paths to stack this game. The problem is that nobody really has a super high target share. Having Josh Gordon be out helps with the Patriots, but it could still be Edelman. It could be Gronkowski. It could be Sony Michel, who has the highest touch per snap rate among all running backs. He gets a touch on 67.2% of his snaps among every other running back with at least 20 snaps per game. Chris Carson's second at 58%. So it's basically like almost 10 full percentage points different. I like Michel. I don't love him. And then if you run it back, like, if the Bills fall behind, that could open up some rushing lanes for Josh Allen. That could lead to a Robert Foster game. I like Zay Jones from a workload standpoint. I think that I'm going to have probably too many stacks of this game and then regret it by about 230. But I like this game from a lot of different angles. What about you?
I don't like this game very much. I like Michelle, though. I do like Michelle. If we look at the three games since Rex Burkhead came back, which is the most relevant sample, the Patriots have lost two of those games, and that is a script that sets up for minimal Sony Michelle, but he still had 17, 20, 13 carries, and at least 57 yards in each game, and the Bills are ranked 24th in success rate against opposing backs. There was a very narrow set of circumstances in which I would use Sony Michel in DFS because I hate the lack of passing volume and I hate his snap rate, but that very narrow set of circumstances happens to align this week. So I think Michel is very much in play. I do like Zay Jones. He has a 24% target share since Allen came back, including one game where he had just one target. He has, I think, 30% of the deep targets and 44% of the red zone targets in that time. So if I'm going at the Bills offense, it'll probably be via Zay Jones. I'll have some Robert Foster too, because of what you mentioned. So I will have some game stacks here, but I'm not going to actively stack it. And I don't think I'll use either quarterback.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to have any Tom Brady this week. I think I'm going to jump off of that while I can. Mm-hmm. I might have some Allen at 7,700 because if the game does get out of hand, he could definitely just sort of get that like 50, 60 rushing yards as they're playing from behind. We know that he can sling it deep, but I like Michelle. I think my favorite stack is probably Michelle and Zay Jones here.
I think that's true for me as well. I would agree.
I still like Edelman a lot. From a floor perspective,
I think Gronk is intriguing because he is a Buffalo dude and like hashtag narrative. Some targets are freed up with Josh Gordon out. Gronk is 66. No one will use him this week, so I'll have some Gronk too. But I think that Michelle Jones is my favorite way to go here. In Cleveland, the Browns are favored by 10 points over the Bengals with the total sitting at 44.5 points. This gives the Browns an implied total of 27.25, which is sixth highest on the main slate. 59% of the bets have been on the Browns, according to Sports Insights, which isn't a huge number, but the line has moved three full points since the open. Brandon, is this spread big enough where you consider Nick Chubb in cash? I think he's definitely a tournament play, but is it also big enough where you worry about Baker Mayfield here?
I would use Nick Chubb in cash games if there weren't so many running backs. I might still play him.
Yes.
I would still consider him in cash games. I just can't really sit here and say that he's going to be one of like the 3 to 5 running backs I use in cash games just because there are so many. So I have no problems with Nick Chubb, and I also have no problems with Baker Mayfield. He's been very matchup dependent this year. This is a great matchup. I love Baker Mayfield this week.
Yeah, I think that Baker's in play for me. With Chubb, like if I were ranking out cash game plays, he would be on the list, but he wouldn't be within the top 3 on that list. So like, I think he's a cash game play. I just don't need to use him this week, but I think he's a very good play for tournaments because he gets good usage. He is talented, like in the passing game. Like, he only got one target last week, but he can convert when he gets volume in the passing game. So I think that he's a good tournament play. I will use David Njoku because he is cheap and because I hate myself. But I think that I would go Baker and Chubb most often. And Baker is in play despite this being the second time facing a divisional foe within the past couple of weeks. Hashtag narrative two as well with Hugh Jackson working for the Bengals. Chicago is favored by just 4 points on the road in San Francisco this weekend. Total is 42.5 points. Gives the Bears an implied total of 23.25. That is 12th highest among 24 teams in the slate. The Bears need to win. Mitchell Trubisky looked a lot healthier in week 15. So with a close spread, playing on the road, both teams run a decent number of snaps. Do you have any interest in the Bears offense this week, Brandon?
A bit. They're just always really hard to figure out from a who's it going to be standpoint. I didn't hate necessarily what I saw from Trubisky last week, but he's 7,900. It's not like he's at a discount. Don't necessarily love that. And, you know, Tariq Cohen could be more in play if there were fewer running back options, but there are so many backs. I don't really think that I'm going to have, there's a chance that I don't have really any Bears exposure, and that's a bit concerning to me.
I think the volume of running backs is actually an appealing thing for Cohen because he has really good upside given the work he gets in the passing game work he gets in the red zone. He has, I think, 22% of the targets since Allen Robinson came back and has 25% of the red zone targets. So I will use Cohen for sure. Trubisky is on the road. He's played actually only in 4 road games this year, which is kind of absurd. But his point totals are 9, 28.34, 6.6, and 14.04. The 6.6 is on the road in Arizona. Like, that's kind of a comparable spot to this one, I think. Although it was before they started to have him chuck it deep a bunch. If I go back to viewing Trubisky the way I did before, given that he did look healthy last week, I didn't use him on the road. So I'm not going to use him on the road here, but I think that Tariq Cohen is very interesting, and I will use him. Any 49ers for you here? Eddie Jackson probably won't play this game for the Bears. Any Dante Pettis or anything like that, or just Chicago here?
I do like Pettis. He's had a pretty high floor. His role has been good. The Bears overall as a team sort of limit production, but they're, I think, 16th in target success rate allowed, but like top 5 in fantasy points, which basically generally means that they've limited touchdowns. But Pettis can get yardage and receptions. So I don't hate Pettis. And if I'm going to have Pettis, it's probably going to be run back with some Bears. And in that situation, it might just be Cohen.
Agreed. Pettis, at least 5 targets in 5 straight games. 83 yards last week. He had a buck 29 against Seattle. So, like, his yardage upside is there. We know he can score touchdowns, too. So I could see a Cohen-Pettis stack as a mini-game stack. Probably neither quarterback once again here as well. Let's finish up the bookmaker info with Falcons-Panthers. With Cam Newton being ruled out Wednesday, the line shifted from the Panthers -3.5 to the Falcons -3.5. The total dropped to 43.5, which puts the Panthers' implied team total down to 20. Tevin Coleman is $6,400, and he should get more work, but he's also a free agent after the year, so the team may want to evaluate Jeremy Langford and Brian Hill. Are you into Tevin here, Brandon? Any interest in the Panthers' offense? What do you see with this game?
I actually really like Tevin this week if he's going to play. I mean, his snaps, I would assume, would go up. I know he's a free agent, but he's playing for a contract. I could see the case where they don't let him play and just see what else they have, but I can also see the case where he plays 85% of the snaps against the team that just shut down their quarterback. So I guess I'm not as high on him as I want to be, because I guess there are those doubts if he gets just limited, but I don't really think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that he could get Fournetted, which is a new verb we're going to use here, because they're like, oh, this guy, well, we don't need to see him. We'll put him on the sideline for the entire second half and burn all of Jim's DFS rosters. So he could get Fournetted,
yeah,
which I think is enough to avoid Coleman and Cash, but he's a good tournament play. He's been crazy efficient as a pass catcher this year. And at one point, they were cognizant of that. They were giving him work in the passing game, but that has since stopped basically. But it could go back up with Ito Smith out. So tournaments, yes, for Coleman. Cash games, no, because Samuels is 67. His team has something to play for. Should have a similar role to Coleman. Okay, so here's a pitch for Taylor Heinicke. I'm just going to give it to you. Okay. He's min price. He ran a 4.67 40 at the combine.
Okay.
Get on, a little bit. The team seems to like him. I was reading that Charlotte Observer article about him, and they were like, we want you to see what he can do. Is Jarius Wright talking? You played with him in Minnesota as well. Didn't look terrible in the preseason when Heinicke played. He has a good infrastructure around him. That is my pitch for Heinicke. He is on my list in cash, and nervous about that, but we're going to roll with it. Heinicke, yay or nay?
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta can give up yards to running or quarterbacks. They're 28th in yards per carry allowed to quarterbacks, for whatever that's worth. I don't hate it. It's just, if I'm playing Heinicke, I'm probably stacking that game up a good bit.
Yeah, Julio's banged up. He missed practice Wednesday. He's missed a lot of practice this year, but it sounds like there's a potential chance he could sit. I wouldn't expect him to sit, but
that stuff just worries me about getting like. Yeah. I think the probably the biggest tip or the smartest thing to do is just be underweight on plays like that. Even someone like Devontae Adams, who's been so good, there's a chance that he just gets Fournetted in the second half.
No, there's no chance he's the best. How dare you?
I love Devontae Adams.
How dare you? You slandered Jared Goff, which I was okay with because he deserved it. Devontae Adams has done nothing to you.
No, it's all about whether or not he plays a full game.
If he plays a quarter of a game, he'll get 40 points. He's awesome.
Pacing for 160.
Yeah, let's go. Totally going to happen. Let's ride, man. Weather for this week, nothing too bad right now. The winds in Cleveland could be a bit high. They're currently 11 miles per hour. Nothing to fret about, but I would check back on Sunday morning to make sure they haven't gone up. Same thing is true in Philadelphia for the Texans and Eagles. Currently 11 miles per hour, so check back there Sunday. But as of right now, I'm not super worried about any weather on this slate. So let's take a look at our positional plays for Week 16. Starting off at quarterback, Brandon, who are your loves for Week 16?
Baker Mayfield at 7,700. I love him. The Browns are clinging to life in the playoffs. He's a 7-point home favorite. The Bengals, just not very good on defense at all. They're 23rd in adjusted pass defense based on number of yards metrics. Mayfield has been pretty sensitive to matchups, but this is a very, very good spot for him. In three home games against bottom half pass defenses, he has averaged 10.1 yards per attempt and 0.49 passing net expected points per dropback. Again, league average there. 0.12, so about four times as efficient as the league average passer at home in good spots. I also love Dak Prescott at 7,300. His splits against bottom half pass defenses with Amari Cooper in a five-game sample, 276 yards, just 1.2 touchdowns, 0.8 picks, so nothing super special, but he thrives at home with 8.22 yards per attempt, 0.17 passing net expected points per dropback. The Bucs can give up yardage to opposing quarterbacks. They're 19th in yards per carry allowed to opposing passers. Cam Newton ran for 33 yards in both games against them. Baker Mayfield got to 43. Lamar Jackson got to 95. It's a bit different, but still they can be run on.
It's the same thing. I like Dak too. Dak's fun. I like Baker as well. I was sitting here slobbering while you mentioned his splits against bottom half pass defenses. So he's predictable. That's what I like about Baker for sure. My first love is Deshaun Watson. I don't have as many concerns around his volume as I did previously because he has had at least 28 pass attempts in three straight games. So that concern is gone. He's also been running more. Watson has had at least 25 rushing yards in five straight games, including 40 or more rushing yards the past two games. That is an additional passing touchdown, which is very impactful. The Eagles secondary super banged up. The game is important for both sides. So I do think this is a game we could stack, and Deshaun Watson is a fun way to get access to it. My second love, let's go, Sam Darnold, baby. He had a season high 21.62 FanDuel points last week. That's not great, Bob, but the matchup is better this week. He's facing the 26th ranked pass defense. And if we look at Darnold, He gets a plus matchup this week, and that is not something he has had very often this year. Six of his 11 starts have come against pass defenses ranked ninth or better based on number fires metrics. Darnold is just $6,700. He allows you to afford high-priced running backs, so I think for this week, both he and Heinicke are in play. Also, I want to mention Jameis Winston at $7,000. Coming off a game where he faced Baltimore in tough weather, outdoors, now goes indoors, faces a good but not as good defense, and he's been good regardless this year. So Jameis is in play, and I want to make sure I mention him here. But Darnold is my second love. Let's move to running back, Brandon. Who is catching your eye there?
It's really hard to sift through all the top guys, but I want to have enough exposure to Alvin Kamara in this game because he's only 8,100. He's played at least 63% of the snaps in five straight. In that span, he's averaged 14.4 fantasy points, which is pretty solid. It's not, 20 fantasy points per game, but his price is down. He's had 10.3 or more fantasy points in all but one game this year. That was when Mark Ingram returned, and Kamara got phased out. Kamara had been just ridden really hard the first 4 weeks of the season. And Kamara averages 3.2 red zone opportunities per game over his past five. I mean, he's really let us down just once this season. The price is very reasonable. He's almost in that like Nick Chubb range. And the total here is 53.5. I really want to make sure that I am overweight to Alvin Kamara. My second love, I was going to say Tevin Coleman, but we just sort of talked about him more, and I want to elaborate more on Sony Michel instead. Huge favorite, 13 points against the rush defense that's his 24th in success rate allowed. The snaps have been not great necessarily at 40.5 on average over the past four games, but he's had four red zone opportunities per game in that sample, 18.5 opportunities overall in that sample. I think that he could be a two-touchdown bet with not a whole lot of resistance in his way. The touch rate is just elite, and I would rather find an extra 400 for Michelle or an extra 300 for Jalen Samuels in most lineups. We just talked about Tevin Coleman more than I anticipated. I also love Elijah McGuire at 5,700. He's played 74.1 and 74.7% of the snaps the past two games. He's in basically a pick'em against the Packers, who are already below average in rush defense, ranking 18th in adjusted rush defense, 22nd in success rate allowed to running backs. He has scored 15.8 and 12.6 fantasy points the past 2 weeks with 10 total red zone carries in that sample.
I like McGuire a lot. Definitely into him as well. You mentioned Kamara, and his point totals at home this year, even with Ingram back, have been very good. He had 30 points against the Rams, and this is kind of a similar spot to that-ish. So Kamara, very interesting. My first love is Zeke, of course, because he gets a big bump from being at home. And if we look at Zeke the past 2 weeks, no touchdowns, but 320 yards from scrimmage. What that says to me is that he is due for touchdown regression, especially when you consider that Zeke has 30% of the team's red zone targets since the Amari Cooper trade. Looking at this Bucs defense, they are allowing more than 5.3 yards per carry since Quan Alexander tore his ACL. So matchup is there, workload is there, home road split is there. Zeke is awesome at $8,800. My second love, do the same thing as Brandon did. I initially had Dalvin Cook here, and he is my second love, but I want to expand more on Jalen Samuels because the past two weeks, honestly, we've seen him play a ton of snaps. And regardless of the matchup, I want exposure to the game environment he'll be playing in down in New Orleans. And Samuels gets me that at a very reasonable salary at $6,700. He has 9 targets the past two games, and the targets were lower last week, but that's because he was running so effectively and they were running so often. Samuels had 2 red zone targets in week 13. He had 1 last week as well, so he'll get work there. I think touchdown regression will come for him too. So Samuels at 67, a very fun play for me and very much in cash game consideration. My third love is Jamal Williams because with Aaron Rodgers saying that he'll play, it means I can get attachment to Aaron Rodgers for $5,800. Williams last week had 12 carries and 5 targets and played 87% of the snaps. That is up 25 percentage points from any other game this year, including when Aaron Jones was out the first two games. The offensive line has lost some pieces, but they are still good run blockers overall up front. Williams is $5,800. So I think that it's tight between him and Maguire. I might go Maguire by a hair. He's at home, but like it's very close.
Yeah, I would probably lean with him as well because he's at home.
All right, let's move down to wide receiver, Brandon. Who are you looking at there?
Jim's least favorite wide receiver ever.
Don't put this evil on me.
Apparently, Jim was talking before the podcast about how much he hated Michael Thomas.
He went to a Big Ten school, therefore he is my favorite.
He's 8,300 this week, and Michael Thomas, this feels like a ceiling game for him at home in a game with a 53.5 point total. He's averaged 20.1 fantasy points in six games at home. I don't put a whole lot of stock into that, but whenever it is a team like the Saints who clearly play better at home, who score a lot of points at home, that matters. The Steelers also can get torched in the slot. Thomas played from the slot around 30% of the time there, but it seems like they are willing to put him in the slot. And when the matchup dictates, that could happen this week. That could lead to a huge game for Michael Thomas. Of course, I love Juju Smith-Schuster on the other side of this game as well, and Antonio Brown. I love Julian Edelman at 7,000. Without Josh Gordon, the target share seems even safer. He's had at least 12.5 fantasy points in 8 of his 10 games. He owns a 26.6% target share, which is 9.1 per game in that split. Buffalo is 12th in slot points per target allowed, but they're expected to score 29 points here based on the implied team total. The market share, the floor has been great for Edelman. Again, no Josh Gordon, and wide receiver is kind of a mess this week, so I like any sort of safety that I can get, and Edelman has been just that this year. Not quite as safe here, but Josh Reynolds at 5,300. He's actually second on the Rams in post-bye target share at 19.4%, which works out to 8 targets per game. And he's been the go-to deep threat. He has 10 of the 24 deep targets in that sample, about 42%. You know, Jared Goff has not cashed in on those, but for someone tied to this offense at this price, running just about every route, playing just about every snap, I like Reynolds in this spot. I also like Zay Jones, I mentioned, who's had a lot of opportunity, but not the results of late.
Trying to build a Big Ten only lineup this week again. I got Drew Brees, Zeke, Tevin, Michael Thomas, Curtis Samuel. That one's a stretch. Ian Thomas, you know, we can make it work. So if you get bored, there you go. My first love is not a Big Ten player, but it is Juju Smith-Schuster. He's coming off of a down game, and I like to use wide receivers with good usage coming off a down game because it will make their ownership lower than it should be. They're moving indoors here. Juju has at least 9 targets in 5 straight games. And last week, with Ryan Switzer banged up and with Eli Rogers coming back, Juju went back in the slot a bit more often last week. That could get him some softer coverage here. So at $8,000 in a potential shootout, Juju is my favorite way to run it back with the Steelers outside of Jalen Samuels. My second love, the guy who burned us last week, it's Amari Cooper. We back. The Cowboys offense functions much better at home, and both of Cooper's big blowups have been at home in Dallas. And his ownership should come down a bit this week. Since the trade, Cooper still has 25% of the Cowboys' total targets, 31% of their deep targets, and 27% of their red zone targets. The Bucs allowed 180 to Michael Thomas, $143 to Julio Jones. So outside guys who get good usage can do well against them. I think that Cooper makes a lot of sense here at $7,000. My third love will be chalk, but it's Robbie Anderson. Okay with that. He has 30.5% of the team's targets the past two games, along with 8 deep targets in those two games. And in the two games that Robbie Anderson has had double-digit targets this year, both those games were started by Darnold, and both those came without Quincy Enunwa, who missed practice on Wednesday. Anderson gets tons of deep volume. The matchup is there. He brings upside at a low cost. So I think Robbie Anderson, we're back on board for this week at $5,900. And it could bust, but I think at his price, I'm more okay with that than I was with Cooper last week. Let's move down to tight end, Brandon. Who are you looking at there?
Just guys whose first and last names start with E. The first being Eric.
I said okay. I like it.
Yeah, I'll probably flex him so I can get maximum exposure there.
I forgot Chris Hogan in the Big Ten only lineup. I think when he played lacrosse at Penn State.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're good. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, I went to Penn State for a few semesters. So
you're basically Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think technically I'm an alma mater, even though I didn't graduate. I think you just had to attend.
Anyway. Yeah, same for us. You just, as long as you were there, like immediately started class, you were an alum. So we're good.
Nice. All right. Eric Ebron. 6,100. He had a dud last week. 1.3 fantasy points on 3 targets. While running 70% of the routes, he was about 85% on average the 3 games prior in terms of route rate. As a 10-point home favorite, he is at risk of getting phased out while playing from ahead. But, I mean, look, it's 70% of the routes for a tight end as a heavy home favorite with a track record of scoring touchdowns. With how bad tight end is, I think we can get back on Ebron this week. I also love Evan Engram at 5,700, assuming OBJ is out. He's had at least 7.6 fantasy points in 3 straight games, despite not scoring in any of those. Indianapolis is 17th in fantasy points per target allowed to tight ends, but they're 31st in target success rate allowed. Again, just not really giving up a lot of touchdowns there. Engram's snap rate is up 52%, 69% of the past 2 games. His routes are up 62 to 72% the past 2 games as well. So Engram at 5,700 is on my list.
I think those two would be my favorite 2 tight ends. If I had to pick for this week, I think I agree with you on both those guys.
It's the easy weekend.
That's right. I like it. My first love outside of those two is David Njoku because, like, we know the limitations. He does not have great market shares, but he offers most of the things that I look for at tight end. He has at least 4 targets in each of their games since their bye week with 16.8% of the Browns' total targets. He has deep targets. He has 6 total deep targets in 4 games since the bye week and a pretty good implied team total here for the Browns. So he has $5,300. I think that the price accounts for his limitations. So despite the fact that, like, he could bust, like, that's true for any tight end. So I think this is not a bad week to go back to Njoku. My second love is cheaper. It's Blake Jarwin at 47. He's had a pretty decent role the past 2 games. He has 14 total targets in that time. That is 15% of the Cowboys' targets. And he also set a new season high in snap rate both those weeks. It was 62% last week, running a lot of routes. If we look at this Tampa Bay defense, they've allowed Zach Ertz, Vance McDonald, Trey Burton, Austin Hooper, and Greg Olsen all to get at least 70 yards receiving against them. So I think it's kind of thin to go Jarwin, but he is very cheap at 47, and I want to go as cheap as I can at tight end to avoid the pitfalls of the position. So Jarwin, to me, is in play for this week. We'll keep with the same team here, Brandon, as we move down to defense, as you're picking on the Cowboys here against a quarterback who is not afraid to throw some picks.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Rams, Vikings, Colts, Browns, but realistically, I try to spend down at defense whenever I can because it's just pretty volatile. Cowboys are at home. They're 12th in points per play allowed at home. It's not great, but it works. They're 7.5-point home favorites. They need to win. They stack well with Ezekiel Elliott. And as you alluded to, Jameis Winston can eat some INTs.
Like that. And they are currently in my cash game defense, I think. So very okay with them. My love is Atlanta. I mentioned I do like Taylor Heinicke, but at the end of the day, I think both defenses are in play in this game. The total is down at 43.5. The Falcons are 3.5-point favorites. This game is outdoors, and it's the second time for a divisional matchup. So a lot of factors are in play here for Atlanta. And on top of that, they are crazy cheap because pricing came out before they announced Cam Newton would sit. Atlanta is $3,400. I think the Panthers are also in play at 33 because it's the Falcons with nothing to play for on the road, outdoors. So both defenses are in play. Probably going to go Falcons more often than not because they're facing a backup quarterback still. But I think both these defenses are in play for a cheap salary saver at defense. Although I do like the Browns a lot at 44 and the Patriots at 43 as well if I do decide to pay up. Brandon, a very interesting slate for this week. A lot of different ways you can play it. And I think it's fun because you have a lot of choices at cash games. You can kind of be picky, which is a luxury you don't get very often in cash.
Yeah, I think this week might be one where I try to have a very small core at receiver so that I can play all the different running backs and cycle them in, which is usually the reverse of how I do things. But there are so many running backs that have a path to production that I think I need to reverse that process this week.
Yeah, I think for me, I want to be okay ignoring running backs who have some concern. I want to make sure I get enough exposure to all the guys I really like so that I'm not headed down a bad path unnecessarily. It's a really good week for running back. So I think I just want to get as many as I can and make sure I am not using plays that aren't great. That is all we have for today. Once again, a reminder, we'll draw for a new iTunes winner at the beginning of January. So get the submissions in by going to iTunes, searching for the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed, leaving a comment, and rating the podcast. Again, only if you are not a Number Fire Premium subscriber to get yourself a chance for at Number Fire Premium for an entire year. A reminder, no recap podcast on Monday because it is Christmas Eve. We already had our final recap pod of the year because Christmas Eve, then New Year's Eve, we will have preview pods throughout the playoffs, though. So make sure you subscribe to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app. Brandon, if people have questions for you on Twitter, where can they find you there?
I am at Gadula13, GDULA13.
And I am at JimSannes, JimSannes. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, PODS as in podcasts. Have fun building lineups for this week. A lot of different ways you can play it and things you can dissect here. So, should be an interesting week. Hopefully, things go well for you. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast powered by Number Fire.